The reading comes from Psalm 127, verses 1 to 4. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. So the shepherds hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
For just over 10 years, starting sometime last century, I worked for a charity called CPAS. The Church Pastoral Aid Society, you may have heard of it. I was IT manager and then administration manager. And a few years before, back in 1990, CPAS had moved up from London, from 32 Fleet Street, to a new building in Warwick in Tatchbrook Park. And on the wall in the entrance hall is a plaque, well, I doubt if it's there anymore because CPAS had moved again, but which quoted our Old Testament reading, Psalm 127, quite suitable for the dedication of a new building. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labour in vain. What's that got to do with Mothering Sunday, you may ask? Well, Psalm 127 is in two parts, about the strength and power of God, firstly in building structures, and then in building a family. In fact, if you think about it, the building of a house, or maybe the building of a home, that could also refer, couldn't it, to a building of a family. And nobody is more important in the building of a family than a mother. And if God is in the project, whether it's house building or family building, then it makes a world of difference. Verse 3 in some versions says this: children are a reward from God. Now, if you're a parent, I'm sure there are times when you may well disagree with that, but you know what the man meant. So let's pray, and then we'll have a look at the New Testament reading. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for all it contains and all we can read in it. Help us to read, understand it, and put it into practice in the following week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So today, as we know, Mothering Sunday. So we're going to be spending some time looking at Mary, the mother of Jesus, from our gospel reading. I think sometimes Mary is underplayed in the Protestant church, but I believe, in fact, she has very much to teach us. I'm going to be focusing largely on just one verse. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. So the context, well, Christmas, the Christmas story, well and truly over now, and all the actors of the nativity play have gone back to school and everything. So what is Mary treasuring and pondering? Well, for Mary, the first Christmas was a blur of activity, wasn't it? Arriving in Bethlehem at the end of a long and exhausting trip, heavily pregnant, finding that the room they had hoped for was already occupied, and so improvising a shelter for the night. Labour pains were coming closer together, a seemingly endless, painful sequence. And then the birth. Then cleaning the newborn infant, wrapping him for warmth, And as she was settling down finally for rest, the door burst open and a group of babbling shepherds came in with their funny, strange story about angel choirs. So that disturbed her again. Later, when the shepherds had visited Mary, Joseph, and the baby, and they were eager then to go and share their story with everyone else, and all about an encounter with angels, the glory of God illuminating the fields, the angels' shocking announcement about the birth of a saviour, and so on. And everyone who heard that was amazed, and quite rightly. But when the last shepherd had finally returned to the hills, Mary was left with her husband, her baby, and her thoughts. It was, I imagine, a bit like when Elijah had run away from Ahab and God found him in a cave on Mount Horeb. And God said, "Go and stand out on that mountain, for the Lord is about to pass by." And there was a great wind and a great earthquake and a great fire, and then a gentle whisper. Mary had been through huge turmoil, and now came calm. It was time to treasure and to ponder. She knew that that night was too important to let it fade away, so she mentally marked it as really memorable. There are two Greek words that summarize her strategy. Firstly, Mary treasured all these things. And the Greek used there for to treasure or to preserve is sintereo. Ask Steve about it afterwards if you want the full story. That a word only occurs two other times in the New Testament. First, Jesus used it as an illustration about wineskins, about preserving and keeping wine. He pointed out that you couldn't fill old brittle wineskins with grape juice that would ferment and produce this expanding gas, and because that would burst the container. So no, you'd have to use new ones, because that way both the wine and the wineskin would be preserved. Suntareo. And the other use of it in the New Testament, when King Herod imprisoned John the Baptist, Herod's wife wanted to have him killed straight away, but the king resisted the plan as, quote, he had been protecting him, suntareo. So in the hectic hours after Christ's birth, Mary was making a conscious effort to preserve, to keep the memories of the moment. It was too important to forget. And secondly, Mary pondered these things. The word pondered in her heart indicate that Mary probably didn't understand fully everything. Well, how could she? Everything that was going on and everything that had happened. She knew that she had a divine calling, but how could she imagine what all that would entail? All these things, it uses the word, those words, incorporates not just the immediate encounter with the shepherds on that day, but all that had happened since the beginning, from the foretelling of John the Baptist's birth and right up to the birth of Jesus. She needed time for reflection and pondering so that she could understand what had happened. And the Greek word used for ponder is sumbalo, which is used five other times. I'm not going to go through all of them, but all in Luke's writing. And the core idea of this sumbalo is to gather, to come together in one way or another, possibly to be thrown together. But it's a gathering of thoughts or people or whatever. Not necessarily in a very organized fashion. So what does it mean when we read that Mary pondered all these things? Well, she'd been bombarded by an incredible array of startling events, from the angelic announcement to the appearance of the shepherds. And in between, she would have been ostracized by other people. There was the routine, I say routine, I can't speak from experience, the burden of pregnancy, an arduous trip, and a very uncomfortable delivery. And all these contradictory events were flowing through her mind like a heated debate. They were all going on at the same time. Don't forget, this was a teenager. She probably mid-teens at that, probably. She was not, certainly not a rabbi, and definitely not a theologian. But she wanted to understand what God was doing in her life, and so she needed to reflect on it all. So she made sure she didn't miss the significance of this night. She treasured every detail and allowed it to play through her mind in the days ahead. One of the characteristics of our age is busyness, isn't it? We fill our lives with activities, work, entertainment, and words. And sometimes that leaves very little room for reflecting on our experiences and impressions. Time for evaluating and judging our actions and responses. And above all, taking them all into the presence of God in prayer, that He would lead us to see ourselves and our times rightly. This is the kind of pondering that is pictured here. Mary reflected on the whirlwind that she'd been caught up in. She meditated on the promises of God. She considered what her future might hold. She spent time sorting out what all of this meant within her and in her relationship with God. Luke's observation also hints at the depths of Mary's character. She was quiet, peaceful, and spiritually receptive. Mary reflected deeply on all the events of her life. Although she had likely had the very best insight into the shepherd's experiences, she kept quiet about her thoughts and feelings. She was, as I said, only a teenager, but she somehow clothed herself, as Peter put it later, with the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God. Her faith, I think, ran deep and strong, guarding the secrets of God, gracefully awaiting their fulfillment. The divine mysteries that had intersected Mary's story were beyond natural comprehension, and yet she preserved them as her most valuable treasures. Now, we've all been caught up with a whirlwind these last few years. COVID came along, lockdowns and whatnot have led many of us to, in ways we couldn't previously have even thought of how it would happen. I met a couple yesterday in town that I hadn't seen for a long time, and they admitted they hadn't really started coming back to church again regularly since COVID. Some of us have faced reduced activities, others of us have been even more busy. Some have been at peace, and others have struggled with worry and concern. The wars in Gaza and Ukraine have hit many of us, and the economic effect has affected energy prices and cost of food, among other things. Mary's example is an encouragement for me to take time to ponder the experience. What has God been doing with me these last few years? How has God been inviting me to grow? Where has He been calling me to repent or change? What gift is He calling on me to use more fully? Who is He calling me to give myself for? How is He calling me to grow as a disciple? These are all quite weighty questions, important questions that are worth pondering. May God bless each of us by His Spirit as we treasure and ponder His work in our lives. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for the example of Mary and all that she can teach us. We pray that we too may face these questions and try to answer them, so that we serve You better, love You more, and draw closer to You, and along the way to help many other people in our discipleship. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.